and welcome to the podcast. I am the American Maxim. Please call me Max, though, because we are friends. Today is Tuesday, January 4th, the year of our Lord 2022, and it is the second day of Shavuot, year 5782 on the Hebrew calendar. They did kind of get a jump out of the start on us, but we'll catch up to them eventually on the calendar. Thank you for listening, rating, reviewing, subscribing. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate being able to talk to you every day on this daily podcast, daily conservative podcast, where I bring you my unapproved, deplorable view on the world. I do not live in New York City or Washington, D.C., and I do not care what the woke left or the sleepy right thinks, but I do care about what you think. So if you would like to contact me, my email address is max@ricochet.com, and I'm also on Getter @AmericanMaxim. So let's get going with the podcast. It seems like only the other day that I said former Vice President Joe Biden's Build Back Broke monstrosity of a bill, that it wasn't really as dead as some people seem to think it might be. And the reason they thought that it was dead is that Joe Manchin, that independent-minded Democrat from West Virginia, said, I can't do it. It's too expensive. I'm not going to vote for it because of my principles, because I just, my principles, you know, and it costs too much money, so I'm not going to vote for it. And it just seems like it was so long ago that I said that. You know, it was actually last year, way back on Friday, 4 days ago, it was Friday. So Axios, which is a left-wing blog, they have a scoop. They put it right in their headline. Quote, scoop, Manchin returns to Build Back Better negotiations with demands. Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia, is open to re-engaging on the climate and child care provisions in President Biden's Build Back Better agenda if the White House removes the enhanced child tax credit from the $1.75 trillion package, or dramatically lowers the income caps for eligible families. People familiar with the matter tell Axios. End quote. Yeah. So this is not in any way surprising that Joe Manchin is, you know, open to re-engaging on the climate and child care provisions, you know, and eventually getting to passing Build Back Broke. And it's not surprising because Joe Manchin is not our friend. I hear people on the right all the time for years saying, you know, Joe Manchin should switch parties and become a Republican. You know, this is sort of wishful thinking. So first of all, that would be horrible. It would be horrible if Joe Manchin became a Republican, because if Joe Manchin becomes a Republican, he will be worse than Lindsey Graham. Totally unreliable. Joe Manchin as a Republican would be Lisa Murkowski on steroids, hormone blockers, or no, would that be hormone inducers? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't want Joe Manchin to become a Republican. I want Joe Manchin to lose his next election, which is not until 2024, unfortunately. But what has Joe Manchin ever really done that would lead us to think that he's our friend? Okay, so fine. Manchin voted for Gorsuch. He voted for Kavanaugh. He didn't vote for Barrett, by the way. But anyway, voting for Supreme Court nominees of the other party, it used to be the norm. Lindsey Graham, who I just mentioned, he voted for all of Barack Obama's nominees. Ginsburg, she got 96 votes for her confirmation in this, you know, in 1993. That was after the Democrats, including Joe Biden, had character assassinated Clarence Thomas. Republicans still overwhelmingly voted for Bill Clinton's nominee, Ruth Ginsburg. So, no. Manchin is not our friend. He's a Democrat. He voted to impeach Donald Trump on completely absurd, unconstitutional grounds twice. And I mean, I could go off on a 20-minute rant just about the impeachments, but I won't. But it was BS, both of them. The first one, they impeached him for doing his job as president. That's totally unconstitutional. Some people make the argument that Congress can impeach a president for literally anything, but that is not in the Constitution. If you believe in the Constitution, then there are only specific things things for which a president can be impeached: high crimes and misdemeanors. Talking to another head of state, the president of the Ukraine, is not an impeachable action. And the second impeachment was even more absurd. You cannot impeach a former president. The Senate today would not impeach Jimmy Carter. He's not the president anymore. The only purpose of impeachment is to remove the president from office. If they're not in office, you can't impeach them. So that impeachment stuff really ticks me off, as you can tell. But anyway, where was I? From the Axios article, quote, "The week before Christmas, reports emerged about how close Manchin and Biden were on a potential deal. The details included a $1.8 trillion offer from Manchin that contained money for universal preschool and green tax credits, but nothing for the child tax credit, which provides families up to $3,600 per child per year," end quote. Did you catch that? And the first thing that I read, was that Manchin had a problem with the $1.75 trillion Build Back Broke package. You know, he didn't want to spend $1.75 trillion. So his counteroffer is $1.8 trillion. I mean, maybe I'm just reading that wrong, but we'll see. But even if he was to say, no, it should be $1.2 trillion, it's, you know, it's all funny money. Why are we talking about the top level numbers? It should be, what do we need? How much does it cost? Then you arrive at a final cost. You don't start with the final cost. What they're doing now is just, how much money can we print? And then we'll figure out where it goes later. So as predicted, Build Back Broke is not dead yet. Here's some New Hampshire news that has some national significance. So the Secretary of State here, his name is Bill Gardner. He just announced that he is retiring. He has been in office since before I was born. Seriously, since 1976. So in New Hampshire, the Secretary of State is elected by the legislature. You know, they don't have their own election. They're not elected by the people. They're not appointed by the governor. They're elected by the legislature. So the legislature has been reelecting Bill Gardner as Secretary of State every 2 years for 46 years, since 1976, which is really incredible because there are 400 members of the House of Representatives, the 400 seats, and they also serve two-year terms, which I'm just saying because there's not, you know, there isn't sort of continuity in the House, if you know what I mean. They only earn $100 a year. They don't make a career of it. You know, you're not a professional member of the House of Representatives in New Hampshire. There is nobody that has been in the House for 46 years. On the Senate side, there are only 24 state Senate seats, and they also have two-year terms, and they also get paid $100 a year. But Bill Gardner has been there for 46 years. He definitely gets paid more than $100, by the way. It's a professional salary, obviously. But Bill Gardner being there for the last 46 years, he's a big reason that the New Hampshire primary is such a big thing. I mean, he was there, you know, Reagan versus George Bush, George H.W. Bush, the first in the nation presidential primary. He really made that a thing, kept it going, and protected it, and made sure that other states did not creep in front of us. He's a Democrat. He is not our friend any more than Joe Manchin. I've said before on the podcast, I won't go into it in detail, but Bill Gardner basically rigged the election in New Hampshire last year for Joe Biden. Secretary of State is in charge of elections. He decided, totally without any type of legal authority, just declared that anybody could request an absentee ballot. Totally illegal, unconstitutional. So anyway, he is retiring. And the big question is, will we continue to be the first in the nation primary? So I can't answer that, obviously, but we'll see. It is good that he's retiring right now because the Republicans have the majority in both the House and the Senate, so they can put in a Republican as Secretary of State. But will they? Because Republicans in New Hampshire are a special kind of rhino. So they might even elect a Democrat just to pat themselves on the back for being so ecumenical. And even if they do put in a Republican as Secretary of State, it'll probably just be some squish. So the other day after church, I was talking to a few of the other men, drinking coffee and eating carrot cake, you know, in the common room there at the church. And we were talking about the totally insane reaction to COVID over the past few years. So one of the reasons that I like this church and that we go to this church is that there's no mask mandate. There's really no nonsense about COVID. If you're sick, don't go to church, stay home and recuperate. And that's, you know, we're all adults and we can all figure it out. So we were talking about, so we're, you know, broadly like-minded. And we were talking about how just how damaging all of this government reaction is. It's not COVID itself. It's the government policies. It's what I talk about all the time here on this podcast. And that's why I was trying yesterday. I was trying to work out on the podcast how it is that so many people have bought into this. And I want to reiterate, because maybe I didn't, you know, really make the point clear enough. I don't think that anybody is stupid for giving in to the fear that has been pumped at us for 2 years straight by the government and the media and, you know, Hollywood and, you know, celebrities. And it's understandable. I understand it. And I know people who are very intelligent who nevertheless are buying into it. And I'm interested in why people buy into that and why in this particular instance that I didn't. But I don't think that that means that I wouldn't in some other, you know, situation necessarily would not be susceptible to something like this, because this is mass psychosis is what it is, but it's on a global level. You know, it's like accusing your neighbors of being witches in Salem, except for that was just one town, you know, in Massachusetts, but this is global. So we were standing around talking about children too, because one of the guys that I was talking with, he has small children from like ages 5 through 12, but his children go to a private Christian school where they don't wear masks. You know, they're not weird. It's just normal. They don't make the kids sit 6 feet apart and don't let them play together at recess or don't let them sit together at, you know, at lunch break. And it's just the way it was before. And he conveyed this to me. And then also I know a woman from our church as well who volunteers at the school. So, you know, I've never been to the school. I have no reason to go because I don't have children, but I've heard from multiple people that the, you know, this Christian school, it's just normal. But we all know that in so many other schools, I know other people in the area who have kids in the public schools where there's a mask mandate. And in some of the schools, they, you know, they're not allowed to play with their friends and, you know, just all of this stuff. And that's even only if, you know, that's only if the school is open. In a lot of places, schools have been shut down for a long time, or they're getting shut down now. They're doing remote learning, which really doesn't work too well. And this is going to have really serious consequences for our entire society, or societies at large, since it is global, consequences in 15 or 20 years when these kids who are coming up through school right now, when they become adults, because we're just destroying an entire generation of people. I mean, I was at the gym earlier and I saw it. It was on Fox News. It was Martha McCallum's show. I was there in the afternoon. So it was all about how schools are closing because of COVID, because of Omicron. And it's just like, why are you doing this? Why, Fox? Why are you obsessing over Omicron? I know why MSNBC and CNN do, because they're trying to help Biden. That's what it has been about from the beginning, in my view. The main driving factor for the media trying to, you know, turn it and just push the fear everywhere was to get rid of Donald Trump. And now it's to protect Joe Biden. These kids, though, they're growing up with a really messed up sense of the world. They think masks are normal. They think compliance with government orders is normal. But even beyond wrecking the kids, the young people, listen to this. This is from Indiana. This is really serious. From a website, it's called thecentersquare.com. Quote, the head of Indianapolis-based insurance company One America said the death rate is up a stunning 40% from pre-pandemic levels among working age people. Quote, this is the CEO of this company. We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business, not just at One America, the company's CEO Scott Davison said during an online news conference this week. The data is consistent across every player in the business, meaning insurance, end quote. This is just from a couple days ago, from like Sunday. So this insurance company, he's saying in the history of the business. And that particular business has been around since 1877, and it's currently a $100 billion company. Quote, again, from thecentersquare.com, quote, Davison said, the increase in deaths represents huge, huge numbers, quote unquote, huge, huge numbers, and that it's not elderly people who are dying, but, quote, primarily working age people, 18 to 64, end quote, from the CEO. Those are the people who are employees of companies that have group life insurance plans through One America, company that this guy is the CEO of. And what we saw in third quarter, we're seeing it continue into the fourth quarter, is that death rates are up 40% over what they were pre-pandemic, he said, end quote. Working age people, 18 to 64 years old. So COVID, as we all know now, and have known from almost the beginning, is most dangerous to old people. Old people, overweight people, people with diabetes. But this insurance company is seeing a huge increase in death for working age people. Again, from the article at thecentersquare.com. Quote, the CDC, quote, the CDC weekly death counts, which reflect the information on death certificates, so have a lag of up to 8 weeks or longer, show that for the week ending November 6th, there were far fewer deaths from COVID-19 in Indiana compared to a year ago, 195 versus 336. So that's approaching half as many deaths from a year ago from COVID-19. 336 divided by two is 168. So there were, quote, there were fewer deaths from COVID-19 in Indiana compared to a year ago, but more deaths from other causes. 1,350 versus 1,319. These deaths were for people of all ages, however, while the information referenced by Davison was for working age people who are employees of businesses with group life insurance policies, end quote. So overall deaths are up year over year, and working age deaths are up compared to pre-pandemic, meaning pre-government tyranny. Quote, Brian Tabor, the president of the Indiana Hospital Association, said that hospitals across the state are being flooded with patients, quote, with many different conditions, saying, quote, unfortunately, the average Hoosier's health has declined during the pandemic, end quote. Yeah, and I would say that I'm sure it's physical as well as psychological health, and that's not from COVID-19. I got a nice New Year's email here from a listener, Fred. Here it is, quote, hey, Max, thank you for bravely doing a special New Year's Eve episode, even though you didn't have COVID. You are truly an inspiration. I wish I could say I disagree with you about the Democrats and Biden. I don't want him to die or anything, but I wish that he would resign or get impeached or something. He just needs to go away. You know what I mean. Anyway, Happy New Year, Fred. Well, first of all, thank you, Fred. Happy New Year. Love hearing from you. Yes, it took a lot of courage to do that New Year's Eve episode, even though I had a runny nose. And for the record, I might have had COVID. I had the symptoms of Omicron. And I didn't test negative because I didn't get tested. So I'm just going to assume that I did have it. Not all heroes wear capes, you know what I mean? So anyway, if you didn't catch the episode on Friday, I made a few predictions for the coming year. And one was that Joe Biden's never going away. I think the Democrats will prop him up no matter what. You know, unless he literally strokes out on live television. Like he's giving one of his rambling speeches and he just all of a sudden he slams his hand down on the podium and he says, where's my rubber ducky? And he falls over and he's, you know, unfortunately dead in this hypothetical scenario that I'm inventing right now. I'm just saying that's how committed the Democrats are, okay? Because they've already been doing that. I mean, he hasn't died yet that we know of, but he's senile. We all know that. So that, you know, the Democrats and the Never Trumpers would say that Trump was crazy or racist or all that stuff, but they didn't match up with reality. I mean, look, I don't doubt that a lot of them really believed that Trump was racist or that he was erratic and crazy. And you're not a successful real estate developer if you're totally crazy. So, okay, they said he was racist, except for they had to make things up to prove it. reality didn't match up. You know, his actual history, what he actually had done. He dated a black woman in the 1990s. Al Sharpton gave him an award, or maybe it was Jesse Jackson, one of the two of them, gave him an award for, you know, his work with black people. He had Ben Carson, Elaine Chao, Nikki Haley, non-Caucasian people in his cabinet, in his administration. This is not something that somebody who's racist does. They said that he was anti-Semitic, even though his daughter is married to a Jewish man. Ivanka, from what I understand, converted to Judaism when she married Jared. So they're both Jewish. Their children are Jewish. Trump's grandchildren are Jewish. He's not anti-Semitic. And not to mention that he brokered how many peace deals in the Middle East between Israel and Muslim countries? Like half of them in history? There were three between, what, the 70s and the last couple of years, and then Trump did three different countries or more signed peace deals with Israel, but he's supposed to be anti-Semitic? Doesn't make any sense. Come on. So what's similar here with the left, it's kind of the demonic left, to be honest. What's similar is that they're lying. They lie about Trump being racist. They lie about Biden being mentally fit, mentally competent, because he's not. So thanks for the email, Fred. Please shoot me an email at max@ricochet.com or tag me on Getter @AmericanMaxim. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. I really appreciate being able to talk to you every day on this conservative podcast. And since you're still listening while I'm saying goodbye, I thought I would share with you that we found out that our 18-year-old cat, Sebastian, that he has diabetes, actually. So we have been taking him in every month for the past few months for steroid shots because he has some other problems, some skin issues where his skin was bothering him. And he's a cat, so then he'll just lick it until all the fur comes off, the skin goes raw, and starts bleeding. And he was doing that on his stomach, so I didn't notice it at first. This was back in, I think, September. So that happened. So took him in, and the vet gave him steroids, and that cleared up his skin. That's great, but the steroids are what gave him diabetes. So now I have to give him insulin shots twice a day, which some people might think sounds a little absurd, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it anyway. And luckily, he is the most placid cat. So today was actually the first day that I had to give him a shot because we took him to the vet this morning and he didn't even notice. He was just laying there. I went over. All you have to do is you pull up a little bit of the scruff behind the neck with your fingers and then you stick the needle in and just squirt it a little bit. And, you know, you don't even have to find a vein or anything, but he didn't notice. He didn't notice anything. He just lay there relaxing, just chilling. We have had Sebastian for 13 and a half years, and I think he was four or five years old when we got him. So he's 17 or 18 years old. And we got him at the animal shelter at the Petco in Union Square in Manhattan because we were living in Manhattan at the time. So we've had him a really long time, and we're just going to make his life as comfortable as possible for as long as possible. So by the way, you can also subscribe for free at the American Maxim podcast at americanmaxim.substack.com. And you will get the episodes delivered to your email inbox every single morning, which some people might find more convenient. But of course, you can also subscribe in your podcast app of choice, and you'll get the episode every single morning in your podcast app of choice. Remember, every gun is loaded. God bless America. God bless you. God bless Sebastian. And I will talk to you tomorrow.
Ricochet. Join the conversation.